name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we have a riddle. The Christian life is filled with riddles, that is, things that are not immediately apparent. The truth of them is not immediately apparent. They're difficult to understand. And here is a riddle at the end of the reading about the woman who anointed the feet of Jesus. He said to her, or he said actually to Simon, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And then he said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven." What does this mean? That her sins, which are many, are forgiven because she loved much. If the Lord had said, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven," it's quite apparent what the meaning is. She was very sinful, and the Lord forgave her all of her sins. But he qualified it. He said, "Because she loved much." And then he said something even more perplexing. "But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." So what does this mean? Perhaps the first apparent meaning might be that because she had so many sins forgiven, she loved the Lord. But actually, if you look deeper into it, this is not why the Lord forgave her. The Lord said he forgave her because she loved much. So there was a reason why he forgave her. Now, of course, the Lord... Get him outside. Of course, the Lord knows how she would act, what she would do. He knows that if he would forgive her, that she would be have deep gratitude to him and love him. Because the Lord knows all things. So this woman reacted to the Lord's forgiveness with great love. Now, perhaps we might say, well, she was a sinner, which of course is a euphemism for a prostitute. So she was a terribly sinful person, would we say? We're not prostitutes. We don't do those things. So perhaps we don't have so many sins, some we might think. If we think this way, then we do not understand what the Lord said. Actually, this woman and St. Mira of Egypt, who was, of course, was a prostitute as well, were terribly sinful. But the difference between them and us is not their number of their sins. No, not at all. It is that they were aware of their sins. And that they repented of their sins and had deep gratitude to the Lord because he forgave them. This is where we and St. Mary of Egypt and this woman who anointed the Lord part company. Well, we're together with them in sins. We might say to ourselves, no, we don't commit fornication or adultery or prostitution or murder anyone or anything else. But where our sins are many, the key to the victorious Christian life is to recognize that your sins are many and that the Lord forgives them. That is, he forgives you if you love much. It says it right there. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. What is the Christian life but reaction to God's love? If we react to God's love, we grow. Just like if a flower reacts to the sun, it grows. No flower tries to grow into the shade. It grows towards the sun. And the same with us. The Lord forgives us all of our sins if we love. We must love. You know, in another place it says that God is love. So if we are to know God, we must love. If we don't love, we cannot know God. It's just not possible. Now, God gives us everything we need to love him. But we must react, as this woman did. Now, there are three examples from the scriptures today to show us how to cultivate this love. This love that brings about our forgiveness. Now, of course, we cannot do anything to to deserve God's forgiveness. This is apparent. This is obvious. We don't even really need the scriptures to tell us that, although they say it many times. But we must react to the Lord. It makes no sense to be given a great gift and not to use it. And the great gift of the Lord's forgiveness of our sins is that He helps us to change our nature so that we become sinless. Not just be forgiven of things we do and don't do, but become a different person. Now, there are three examples, as I said. There is one bad one, one way not to be, and two ways to be. Let us look at the woman. The first example. So she obviously was a sinner. She obviously had known the Lord and had changed. She had been delivered out of her enslavement to fornication and to prostitution and to uncleanness, to all the things that go with that lifestyle, to no doubt depression that she felt over her life and how wasted it was. And the Lord delivered her from that. We don't know how, but it must have happened because she came to Him a changed woman. A woman who was grateful for the change. And she knew only one way that she could express this love for Him. So she bought expensive ointment and went to anoint His feet, both with her tears and the ointment, trying to show how grateful she was towards Him. It's not important that the ointment was expensive. It's not important that she cried or anointed His feet. What's important is that she felt deep gratitude in her heart for what the Lord had done. In order to feel this gratitude, she had to feel the weight, the immensity of her sins. And I think especially in our modern society, I suppose it probably was always the case, but of course we only live in the time we live, that we are blind to how sinful we really are. To how often we sin against the Lord. To how often we sin against our neighbor. To how little we love our neighbor and how much we judge him. To how lazy we are. To how little we pray. To how much attention we spend with superfluous and frivolous things. And how little time we spend with anything that matters. Our life is one sin to another sin. If we look carefully. And this woman saw how sinful her life was. And that the Lord had forgiven her. So she felt this great gratitude. And it motivated her to do something that was really outrageous. A woman of that level of society to go into a Pharisee's home. She risked being beaten and thrown out the door. And ridiculed. But she was motivated only by gratitude and by love. I tell you, when you feel your sins and that the Lord has forgiven them, you should be motivated to do crazy things. Like love everybody. Like forgive people that do evil against you. Like allowing people to hurt you, to harm you, to cheat you, and do nothing. Even when your friends say, you should do something about that. The love of God within us makes us do things that appear to the world to be crazy. That's what this woman did because of her gratitude. It says love covers a multitude of sins. Yes, indeed. But our love of God is motivated by our gratitude towards Him. We love Him because He loved us. So that is the first example. We must nourish in our hearts gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. But we must know there's something wrong with us in order to feel this gratitude. We must become attentive to what we do and what we don't do, to the kind of person we are. If any one of you is happy or satisfied with the kind of person you are, you're a fool. Straight out, I have to tell you, you're a fool. because you're not where you should be yet. God will bring you there. But you must be aware to ask. And you must be aware to feel great gratitude when the Lord delivers you from your sins. There are sins in your life you're not even aware of right now, that the Lord will deliver you from eventually. Here is the other example. It's an example of what not to do. It is an example of what people do when they do not have full love for God and when they don't know themselves very well. We've seen this example before. Lent began, of course, with the Pharisee and the publican. This is not quite as strident an example, but it's the kind of thing that we do daily. So maybe it's a better example for us, because we're not going around saying, "Lord, I thank Thee, I'm not like other men, I do this, I do that, and I'm not like this publican." But we are like this Pharisee. This Pharisee, when he saw that the woman was anointing his feet and Jesus did nothing about it, he thought within himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know that this woman's a sinner. We don't associate with sinners around here. This is not the way we do things. We throw sinners out because we're pure. So he's thinking these thoughts in his head. And of course the Lord knows it. Why does he think these thoughts? To know that she is a former prostitute, that would be obvious. Perhaps her dress even gave her away. But to know the condition of her heart, only God knows that. And the humble man never judges. He sees external things. You can know if a man is drunk, but you don't know if he's a drunkard. You can see a man steal something, but you don't know if he's a habitual thief. So this Pharisee Simon didn't know himself that well. And so he judged. And this kills compunction in the heart. Judging others just absolutely kills compunction. Judge yourself. Don't judge others. If you judge yourself, then there will be this flame of compunction in your heart, in contrition. And you will mount up, as the scripture says, like eagles. But if you judge people, the fire is doused. Not only doused, but it becomes icy cold. And here is another example from the other gospel. The two apostles, Boanerges, wanted to sit at the right hand and at the left of Jesus. A very silly question. They didn't know what they were asking. And the Lord was gentle with them and told them how they were wrong. But the other disciples found out about it, right? So then he has to tell everyone and give this, as it were, shall we say, a teaching moment. And he says to them, when he says first that the Gentiles, the way they exercise lordship is to have power. The one who is in command has power over other people. But he says, it shall not be so with you. But whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you shall be chiefest shall be the servant of all. Do you want to be forgiven much? Consider yourself to be the servant of all. That's a difficult thing. Because it's not just what you do. It's not just saying, okay, I should do this thing and be a servant. It's not the things you do. It's the way you think. It's the way you think of yourself. And all these things are possible, to think of yourself as a servant, to do crazy things because of the love of God, and to not judge others. If we are aware of two things, I've told you about them many times. You must know yourself, and you must know God. So you must know that you are a great, deep sinner, and weak, and prone to sin. But you also must know that God is great and came to forgive sins and came to enlighten you and that all you need to do is reach out to Him with humility, and you will be saved. To know these two things together, and then everything in your life should be molded on those two things. Everything you should do is based upon who you are and knowing who you are and who God is and knowing who He is. Everything. And then you would be the servant of all, because you would remember your sins and remember God has forgiven you and have deep, ardent love for Him. And with tears, perhaps not physical, but certainly tears in your heart, tears in your mind, you would serve others because the Lord served you. This is the secret of victorious Christian life. To recognize your weakness, your sinfulness, and that the Lord will redeem you. But you must react to Him. Forgiveness is not just a legal transaction. Forgiveness is our Abba Father helping us, counseling us, guiding us, supporting us. There's nothing legal about it. It is God loving us. And we must react to that love. And if we do, then we will be forgiven all of our sins. So may God help you to be like this woman. You already have the many sins. We all do. May God help you to love much and to be forgiven much. Amen.